Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Learning to Fly the podcast. Today is another Learning to Fly reading challenge episode. So I'm joined by Brenna from Rose Colored Books, and our special guest this week is L.R. Friedman, author of Brain is Escaping Me, Descend, which is coming out next month. So how is everyone today?
Good, good. Enjoying the Texas heat here.
I know that feeling. Very much enjoying the heat here in Vegas, too. I'm also doing very well.
Alrighty. So, I am super excited that you're here today and that we're chatting. And especially with your book being so close. For anyone who is, like, just tuning in, has no idea what's going on, can you tell us just a touch about the book?
Sure. So, it is a new adult, dark portal romantasy series, and book one, which is Descend, will be coming out August 23rd. And a little bit about it. It is kind of following two different main characters. So there's two main characters. One is a student going to college who inadvertently discovers a portal to a magical twisted fairy tale world, and the other main character is an assassin who lives in that world. So, and their worlds colliding.
And
I love it. I love it.
That is amazing. Not that it's a huge deal, but it is something that we talk about a lot on the podcast. Do you have a publisher? Are you self-publishing?
I am self-publishing.
And do you mind telling us what you're using to make that possible? Like, is it KDP or Ingram or something else?
I'm doing KDP. I'm also actually am going to be loading onto Ingram as well for paperback. But the ebook will be on Kindle Unlimited. So I will be doing all that through Amazon. So
excellent.
Self-publishing, it's fun. It's a journey, learning more things every single day.
Oh, absolutely. And again, not that it's a huge deal, but it is something we love to talk about on the podcast, especially because we have writers of all genres and we have artists of all kinds. And I know that Brenna put up a fabulous post in her stories asking her viewers and followers to give us questions for you. Should we kick off with that and make sure we get time and space for it?
Sounds good to me.
Yeah. So, our question from a viewer asks, did it take a while to think of cover ideas?
That's a good question.
That is actually a really good question. I love that. It did and it didn't. I read a lot. That's like one of the biggest things I feel like that has helped me. It's just I love to read, and so I read a lot in and out of genre, and so I found kind of took what my favorite covers are and kind of narrowed them down to figure out what things I loved about those covers, and then kind of I knew that I wanted to do more of like a topography object-based cover, and so then I kind of had to think about like something that you obviously have to consider when you're doing a portal fantasy is like something that will make sense for both worlds. And I'm trying not to give away anything too much, but like the
also ties mask, into the overall story, maybe
the mask tied in because it was kind of like it ties into the story in a spot that's kind of like the middle ground between worlds, if you will. And so it kind of it just kind of encompassed both, and so I felt like it worked really well for the cover, and so that's how I picked the object. And then I actually got all three of my, well, three, but now it'll be more than three books, but I had the first three books, the covers designed at once so that they would all be cohesive. So that was, yeah, fun. And I did little mock-ups and sent them to my cover designer, and they made them actually into beautiful covers.
I'm curious, what were some of the ones that you pulled for inspiration from? Like, what books do you love and that kind of thing?
The covers that I sent that I really love are Guild from the Plated Prisoner series and To Bleed a Crystal Bloom by Sarah A. Parker. So
those are both cool.
Gorgeous covers that are have really pretty type on them.
That's awesome. And I didn't get questions from my audience quite the same way that Brenna did, but I do have an anonymous question from my fan base that I'm excited to share with you. So my audience is always about where we gather inspiration. And this question really hit home. Where, like, do you have a writing ritual or writing spot or anything that is tied to how you feel creative and confident?
I love this question. I'm big into setting up routines and things, and I was actually just talking to a friend about this today.
Excellent.
I am a big, like, bookish candle nerd, so I always have, like, certain candles that I like to light. I have a desk, and so I will normally light a candle that kind of matches the vibe of the book or section of the book that I'm writing, or that maybe I associate with a certain character if I'm writing their POV.
Do you have any favorites?
Right now on my desk is Flicker Wicks, and I have their Dark Fairy Tales, but I had their Dark Academia one up for a while as well, and I actually just got their Lucas and Slade ones. Slade is what I love, and then Lucas is a new one that I just got, and that one has like a smoky smell to it. Anyways, but I have a whole drawer. I actually have a drawer of candles, different ones, and I pull them out depending on, as I said, what character I'm writing. And then I have actually Spotify. I have a Spotify playlist for each of the books that I write. And then, I actually have Spotify playlists for each of my characters. So the ones that are for the book itself, like the Descend playlist, is public and like anyone can see that. But my character ones are like private, and you know, I can put on the music that makes me think of that character and listen to the music and smell the candle. And you know, if I have like pictures of my like celebrity quote unquote inspo for those characters, I might have that pulled up just to. So I love kind of like immersing myself in that. So that is kind of my
if you're comfortable itself. You should totally share that public Spotify list with us. We'll drop it in the description. And I love that you mentioned candles, because I write poetry, so I'm a little different than you, but I love doing something similar and having a scent that is kind of the emotion that I'm trying to convey, or something that relates to the memory I'm trying to write about, or whatever. And I got really lucky when my second book launched. One of my friends actually makes candles, and she and I got to do a collaboration that was tied to my second book. So I love that you have that in your ritual or your routine, and I love that we can kind of connect in that writing style. Plus, she still has candles available, so it's a mini plug.
Yeah, I love that. No, I think, I know, I was like, I wish, yeah, because you'll have, like, very specific smells and things that you'll associate with your characters or the general vibe.
Exactly.
And I think it really does help. It's so funny because I'm very just, like, I have to have those things. I mean, there are also times that I don't have a choice and I'll be sitting outside of one of my kids' activities and I'm like just typing on my phone. So I also have moments like that aren't that great, but ideally most of the time I'm at my desk and I'm have my candle and my music going.
Oh, that's awesome. I didn't realize you had kiddos. So I think that's an excellent elaboration on the fact that you're still making this book happen and finding time for those words.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's super admirable that with everything going on in life in general, even, that we're still able to produce this kind of art and still be able to connect with others.
I am 100% with you, Brenna.
Yeah, I wanted to write a book for a long time. It's been kind of on my 5-year plan for over 10 years now. And I kind of just got to this point where I felt like enough was enough and I was going to do something about it. So I just kind of, as I said, when I first started, I was like, I will just embrace the suck. If it was like not going to be pretty or it wasn't going to be great, I was just going to get down the words, even if they weren't the best words. And that's kind of where I started at, and it was chaotic because, yeah, kids running around and, you get used to it.
Yeah, I can imagine. And that kind of transitions into one of my questions. Have you always been a writer, or did it come on kind of recently or not so recently, but, or did you just kind of grow up that kind of vibe? I've always been interested in stuff like that, so.
So I grew up a reader. I loved reading books. I remember, you know, Harry Potter. I feel very obvious saying Harry Potter, but my mom and I used to read them when I was a kid. We read them aloud. We read every single book in the series. So, like, my parents really fostered a love of reading, and so I always loved reading books. And then in college, I did study, I did do like a creative writing minor, and I studied more of like public relations type writing, like marketing and promotions. And so I have done more work in that kind of field. So fiction writing, I had not done any of since college, since like assignments in college, until last year when I started writing Descend.
Nice.
That's awesome. Kind of crazy to hear, but really cool.
Yeah, I love how it was kind of like a transition, because even though they are both writing, they're two completely different fields.
Yes. So your mind and your words in very different ways. It was something I really wanted to do, and I felt like, as I said, I'd be, you know, what are your goals in 5 years? I remember like writing down almost every time, like, write a book. And then, but I didn't have that. I kept waiting for like a kernel or some idea to come along. And it just so happened that last year that kernel came, and I decided I was going to do something about it. I think maybe COVID also leaned into that, just because I feel like just with the anxiety and like stress, reading also, I started reading more because it was like a great escape. And then I kind of wanted to create my own world that people could escape into. So
that is amazing. Yeah. And speaking of the world, that leads into one of my questions, unless Brenna had a different one.
No, you can go ahead.
Okay. I know that some people are gung-ho about world building and other people are a little more like, I don't really know how to get into this. So I'm curious, do you mind sharing a little bit of that process from your perspective?
Sure. I feel like I'm kind of in between. I'm a planter, so I feel like I'm in between that, like, having everything figured out and just kind of organically seeing what happens. And So with my world, I felt like there were certain things I knew were going to be in it. I knew like the general vibe of what I wanted. I kind of wanted this like twisted up dark fairy tale world that almost kind of had this one side, it felt like beautiful and very exciting, and another side like, you know, scary and terrifying in other ways. So I went in with that, but a lot of it, the little details and things that developed came as I was writing. Or when I was in the shower thinking about the book, I'd be like, get out of my shower, run to my phone, like type into my notes section something that I wanted to remember to write later. So yeah, some of the things I knew were going to be in the world, and then other things, I definitely like to see what comes naturally, or even when I go back and edit. So right now I'm, you know, editing book two, I'm going and I'm seeing things like, oh, you know, little aspects of world building or technology or whatever I want to add in that pop up, and then I'm threading it through. So
I love that. Thank you for sharing. And just for anybody listening who wants to know what the heck a planster is, in NaNoWriMo terms, there are two schools of thought. There's the planners who know their details and know what they want to do going in, and there's pantsters who kind of make things up as they go. Planners are a overlap of the two, and thus become a third category, specifically in NaNoWriMo speech, because I know not all of you are writers. Some of you are artists of other kinds, and want to make sure you can follow that.
Sorry.
No worries. I was like, oh, I don't think that term has come up on the podcast. Let's address it real quick. And unless Brenna has a burning question, this is also a fabulous place to pause for our sponsors. Again, I make no money on this podcast. These are people I genuinely believe in and want to support. But Brenna, I may have cut you off there.
Oh, you're good. You are totally good.
Fabulous. We're going to go for the ads and we'll be right back.
This is Damien. Thanks for listening. You can find me on Instagram at Spasm of Feelings. I post every couple weeks. If you're looking for new poems or if you just want some pictures of my cat, you can check me out there.
Stop frantically searching the internet. We're here to talk about My Noise 2, the new book from Ash Raymond James. It is like a takeoff in space, all about his life. It is going to inspire you. It's going to make your heart and your mind like fall in love again. It's going to redefine gravity. It's Mind Noise 2. Get up and start dancing. It's time. It's Mind Noise 2.
Alrighty, as we come back, I'm going to pass the show to Brenna.
Okay, so you mentioned that you were mainly a reader before you started writing. Was there any specific book or series or author that really sparked your inspiration for creative writing in this past year?
I would say that I really admire Sarah A. Parker, who wrote To Bleed a Crystal Bloom. I like her writing style. She's very poetic and intentional with her word choice. So I felt like reading her, Raven Kennedy, Ann Denton, Ivy Asher, Elizabeth Briggs, all these different, there's so many out there. Ashley Jade, I just read her, is inspiring. I love reading other indie authors. That really lights me up and inspires me when I get to see them be creative, because I think when I'm reading an indie author, I feel like because they have a little bit more perceptively, obviously I don't know everyone's situation, but it comes off obviously that they have more creative control. And so I think getting to see what they're creating and how just unique and creative they can be with it, I really enjoy kind of learning from and being inspired by. So I read predominantly indie books.
Love that.
Since that is something that, oh, sorry.
You're good.
since reading indie books is something you gravitate towards, do you have a favorite way of coming across authors or supporting their books, like where you purchase them?
Well, I read a lot on my Kindle. I'm a big Kindle Unlimited reader.
Okay.
So I normally will always read electronically, and so I will, you know, see what people recommend on, you know, Facebook or Bookstagram, or and then I also love to see like what Amazon recommends. Sometimes I just do it based on, you know, if I'm in a mood for something, or it also kind of depends now that I'm writing, because I'm more in the writing space obviously now, where I'm at, that also determines what kind of books I want to read. So I'm not reading like super heavy in-depth world building fantasy right at this moment in editing, just because it's a little bit easier for me to read like maybe contemporary romance or paranormal or something a little. So I'm a very big mood reader. So also I will always have my Kindle completely full of a lot of different types of books, and then I will just kind of select as I feel when I go in. But I am very much like, once I start a book, I will finish that book. I try not to hop around too much at the same time, because it's hard for me to keep track of too many things.
So I think
I feel that my Kindle library is...
Go ahead, Brenna.
My Kindle library is growing and, you know, expanding as we go on. So that's exciting.
I was just going to say, I think that a lot of your answers are pointing towards everything that you do, at least in terms of creativity, comes from what you're feeling. And I think that's really cool. And I'm curious, do you, and you don't have to answer if this is too personal, but like, do you journal or do you log how, like, what you're feeling is inspiring what you're doing at any given time, be it a day or week or any sort of reflection?
I actually love journaling. There's a journal that I really love. It's, of course, I'm blanking on what it's called. It's by Amber Ray, is the person who created it. But it's like, I struggle with journaling when it's not guided. Like, if I just looked at a blank page, it would be hard for me. But this journal, which I really like, it kind of in the front, it will say, you know, either how you feel or how you want to feel.
Is it the Wonder Journal?
Yes, it is.
Okay, cool. I was like, I recognize that name.
I feel less crazy for saying this. I'm like, I'm blanking on it because it's upstairs, of course, not down at my desk. Because I actually, when I wake up, I usually go upstairs and I work out and I journal up there. So my journal is sitting up in that space. But yeah, so I do like to kind of check in and see how I'm feeling. And so, yeah, it just really... It really just depends on where I'm at in the writing process and in my life, like what kind of escape I might need or not need. But yeah, I love getting recommendations from other people, from friends, you know, looking on Goodreads or Amazon, or I love looking at like the Goodreads list too. If it's like a certain type of vibe I'm really into, then I might look at someone's list to see other books that might be similar.
That's a good point, and that's an underutilized tool, in my opinion.
Definitely.
And this one is also a touch personal, so again, if you don't want to, just let me know. With kiddos and life and all those other things, do you have any other hobbies aside from writing that maybe help you check in with your family and possibly foster new ideas for your stories or other projects?
It's with my kids, it's been great because my oldest is now old enough to read, and actually my middle child does too. And so we actually make like little family dates, and we'll go to the bookstore and we make a big deal of it, and we each get to pick like a book. And so we kind of do that, and we have right now in summer, we have like a little like summer reading cards. They get punches for reading certain amounts. So that's something we connect with. Obviously that's not really outside of it, but I actually work I've danced my whole life, and I work as a dance competition judge, so I do that, like, and travel for that. So that is just something that I get to do that kind of is me connecting with another artistic facet.
That is really cool.
That's epic.
Also, since you mentioned the kiddos reading and the punch cards, I want to remind the audience that all ages are welcome to do the summer reading challenge that Brenna and I are hosting. It is our Learning to Fly summer reading challenge. It's a little different than your typical reading challenge because you read, you support, and you create things. But I just want to remind you, all ages are welcome to participate and all ages are eligible for our postcards and potential prizes.
Yeah, get those
forms. I had a question and I have forgotten it. Brenna, did you have another one?
I can think of one. Let's see. So, I know you kind of touched on it earlier, but my internet completely cut out and I didn't really hear the beginning of it. You were talking about a Spotify playlist. What kind of music inspires you to write or even to read if you like to listen to music while you read?
I honestly have never tried listening to music while I read, but I honestly am very a dancer, so I grew up dancing to lots of different music, so music's just very important, I think, to my creative process in general because of that. But I love so many different types of music, but I feel like I am the weird one among my writer friends because most of them do not like listening to any music with words, and I love music with words. And so it doesn't mess up my process at all in terms of writing or editing, and so you'd find pretty much a little bit of everything. It also depends, because as I said, I do playlists for, like, each of my characters has their own playlist, so each of my characters might listen to a different genre of music. So you might find more rock, you might find more alternative, you might find more, like, girl power, you know, feisty music on another. You might find gangster rap on one, like, it could really vary. It just depends on the character or the mood of the scene. I'm definitely like, I will listen to the same song like 50 times in a row if I'm like in a certain scene and it just fits the vibe of it.
I've never heard something so true. I do the exact same thing throughout my writing process. I'm like, this is the song.
Okay, now I feel less weird because as the most of my friends don't listen to music with words, and so when I say that, they're just like, no, they could not do it.
I'm in a weekly writing circle, and every week the person who hosts it, he's a very famous poet named Neil Hilborn, he'll make us playlists that he recommends for whatever the theme is that week. And half the time it has words and the other half it doesn't. And everybody has very strong opinions about what is the correct way. So hearing someone else mention it, I go, maybe we're not just weirdos all in one space. Like, maybe this is a real thing. Because I know our group is especially weird. So it's nice to have that confirmed.
Anytime I ever say to someone like, listening to XYZ or this song makes me think of these characters in this situation, I'd say 90% of other writers are like, I can't listen to music with words when I write. So I feel like we're definitely in the minority, but we're out there.
I think this is going to be our last, like, serious question for the episode, aside from where to find you. But this is a question that my audience really, really loves, especially from new guests. What is something near and dear to your heart that doesn't get enough space, enough conversation? Like, what should we make more time for?
In our lives?
It can be in our lives. It can be an issue. It can be really whatever you're called to share with us.
I definitely just surrounding yourself with people who make you better. I think that we spend a lot of time and energy on things that, and people who don't serve us or can be toxic to us. And I think when we find those people in our lives and we are more present for them, and I don't know if it makes any sense, but I feel like when you make that connection with someone and you're both mutually supportive and encouraging, I think it makes both people better. And I think that if we all took more time to foster relationships like that, the world would be a much better place.
I think that is the best answer I've heard yet, especially because I can personally relate. I finally found a friend, like not a romantic person or not a family member, who makes me feel like I'm better every day that I know them, and vice versa. So that one hit me personally. So as is tradition on the Learning to Fly podcast, we have a random question for you. Brenna, did you want to ask this one or shall I?
Go for it.
Alrighty. So today's random question is going to be, do you have anything that you collect throughout your life? Maybe it's hats, maybe it's memories, maybe it's postcards. Do you have any collections?
That's a really good question. I would say, I'm sure I collect more things than I can think of off the top of my head, but I really love mugs. I love coffee, and that's actually probably another thing in my writing ritual, but I love having, like, coming and sitting down at the desk with a cup of coffee, and so I have my, like, favorite mugs, and in my family, we've always, like, it's kind of, like, gift-giving. A mug is, like, a love language, so, like, getting, like, that special mug. Even I went home and saw my parents a few weeks ago, and like I pulled out my old like mug that they have at their house still, and it's like, you know, my mug. So it sounds silly, but I love collecting like special mugs.
So I have to ask, can you describe one of these mugs for us?
Yeah, I can. I'm trying to think. I have one that just says the word present. I have another one that says, I'm here for the smut for reading. But I had multiple people send me that said they thought of me when they saw it. So it's just like, well, you know, it's just kind of funny. My mom actually sent me one that says future best-selling author with my name on it. And it's sitting on my desk. It's sitting here on my desk right now. So I keep that like there, and and I have a lot of, like, I love Disney characters, so I have, like, a Tinkerbell mug and an Eeyore mug that I had as a kid, and I moved them with me when I grew up, and I still have them, and I still drink out of them, so those are.
Well, thank you so much for embracing that random question, and for joining us on the episode. Before we go, where are the best places to support you, and when your book is available, where's the best place to purchase it?
Probably the easiest place to find me is on Instagram or TikTok. It's the same exact username, which is LR Friedman Author. And the book will be probably easiest to find on Amazon. So it will be available August 23rd, and the paperback may be out like a day or two early. If I can get it there a little bit early, then I will. So hopefully people can have it in their hands to all be reading at the end of August. So,
and fun fact, book 2 is slated to come out in January. So keep an eye out for more information on that.
Yes.
And thank you again so very much for your time. Thank you, Brenna, for bringing me some fabulous guests. And of course, if you're listening, thanks so much for tuning in to another episode of Learning to Fly the podcast. You're awesome. I hope you've enjoyed this one, and we'll see you again tomorrow for more who knows what.